Getting Started with Numbers by Ted Hildebrandt. Introduction to Numbers. The book of Numbers is one of the most neglected yet fascinating books of the Pentateuch. Its diverse structures baffles the modern critics as it oscillates effortlessly between ritual instructions and historical narratives, reflecting a medley of diverse literary forms, including civil laws, Numbers 27, 1 and following, cultic law, chapter 7, verses 10 through 88, a priestly blessing, chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, census lists, chapters 1 and 26, a travel itinerary, chapter 33, a victory song, chapter 21, verses 27 through 30, narratives, chapters 11 through 14, and even a diplomatic letter, chapter 20, verses 14 through 19. Numbers also includes a poem from the Book of the Wars of the Lord, chapter 20, verses 14 through 15, and prophetic oracles from a Mesopotamian prophet, Balaam, chapters 23 and 24. As well as royal correspondence attempting to secure his cooperation from Balak, king of Moab, chapter 22, verses 5 and 6, and verses 16 and 17. Thus, Numbers provides us with a wealth of literary diversity. The English title is derived from the Greek Septuagint, the LXX, called, quote, Arithmoi, end quote, through the Latin Vulgate, quote, numeroi, end quote, into our English title, quote, numbers, end quote. These titles probably reflect the two foundational censuses that were recorded in chapters 1 and 26. The title of the Hebrew Masoretic text, or MT, is taken from the fourth word, quote, in the wilderness, end quote. The Hebrew title is more descriptive of the actual contents of the book, which narrate the Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness, wandering from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. Historically, Numbers resumes from the ending of Exodus, where the tabernacle has been set up and the glory cloud of God has come down, Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, compare Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. Leviticus was a hiatus from the historical narrative so that the ritual instructions given on Mount Sinai could be recorded, giving ritual instructions while they were at Mount Sinai. Numbers begins with preparations for the journey from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and, after an extended stay at Kadesh, finishes up on the plains of Moab in Transjordan, chapter 33, verse 38, chapter 36, verse 13. Compare Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. See the map below. The setting of the book of Deuteronomy picks up the storyline on the Transjordan plains of Moab with the renewal of the covenant just before the death of Moses and the entrance of the Israelites into the promised land in Joshua. Contents of the Book of Numbers. While the flow of the content of the Book of Numbers is problematic, whether one takes a chronological, thematic, or geographical approach, Olson has insightfully observed that the book is built around the two censuses in chapters 1 and 26. The first census features the first generation that left Egypt, highlighting how they repeatedly rebelled in the wilderness and faced death as a result of their unfaithfulness, chapters 1 through 25. The second census lists the new generation, after which there is not a single mention of rebellion, unfaithfulness, or death as a result of judgment, chapter 26, verses 64 through 65, chapters 26 through 36. Instead, the second generation is filled with hope and a forward-looking perspective that expresses their expectations and plans for settling the promised land. The book opens with the Lord speaking to Moses in the tent of meeting at Sinai on the first day of the second month of the second year after coming out of Egypt, chapter 1, verse 1. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1 and chapter 9, verse 1, however, describe the setting up and consecrating of the tabernacle, which took place a month before the opening verse, chapter 1, verse 1, in the first month of the second year. It is apparent that a strict chronological order is not being used to order the events of Numbers. Chapters 1 through 10 describe the plans for leaving Mount Sinai. Chapter 1 is the first census of the old or first generation that had come out of Egypt and who had received the law at Sinai. Each tribe is listed, and every man over 20 counted, totaling 603,550, excluding the tribe of Levi, which was commissioned to carry the tabernacle and its furnishings. The Levites were chosen in place of Israel's firstborn, chapter 3, verse 12. The camp arrangement is specified in chapter 2, with the tabernacle at the center. The tabernacle drawing has a tabernacle in the center. On the north or the top side, there's the tribes of Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. On the west side is Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, with Ephraim and Manasseh being the two sons of Joseph that were included as tribes. To the south were the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and Simeon. And to the east, where the entrance to the tabernacle was, are the tribes of Issachar, Judah, and Zebulun. The Levites who carried the ark and the tabernacle were inside the tribal boundaries, and so on the north side you had the Levites of the clan of Merari who carried the frames of the tabernacle that were made out of wood. On the west side was the Levitical clan of Gershon, and they carried the curtains. On the south side, the Levite clan Kohath, and they carried the furniture. On the east side, where the entrance of the tabernacle opened, were the priests. And the priests were the descendants of Aaron. Aaron was a Levite, but only Aaron's children became the Aaronic priesthood. And so they were the priests, Aaron and his descendants. Chapters 3 and 4 describe the duties of the three Levitical clans, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and what each of their responsibilities were in carrying the furnishings of the tabernacle. The priests were taken from the family of Aaron, who is from the tribe of Levi. Purity is featured in chapters 5 and 6, with chapter 5 detailing the ordeal of a wife with a jealous husband, and chapter 6 describing the requirements for the Nazirite vow. Samuel and Samson were born as perpetual Nazirites, while Paul, in the New Testament, takes a temporary Nazirite vow. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. Chapters 7 through 8 describe the offerings for the dedication of the tabernacle and the consecration of the Levites. Numbers chapter 9 through 10, verse 10, concludes this first, quote, old generation's preparation for the journey from Sinai with the second Passover and a description of the divine glory cloud taking the lead as the Israelites begin their journey. Israel embarks on its trek through the wilderness from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea after being instructed on the ordering of the tribes for the journey. Chapter 10. In chapters 11 through 21, there is a series of incidents demonstrating Israel's unfaithfulness to the Lord in spite of his miraculous provisions in the wilderness. There is then a chart charting these series of rebellions against the Lord in the wilderness. Each column is labeled, number 1, the reference slash name, problem, divine response, Moses intercedes, and result. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 2 is Taberah. The problem is complaining about hardships. The divine response is fire burns. Moses intercedes. he prays. Result, fire dies down. Reference and name, chapter 11, verses 4 through 34, is Kibrot Hata'ava. Problem, no meat, only manna. Divine response, plague after eating the meat. Moses intercedes. Moses laments, burden too heavy. Result, God takes the spirit on Moses and puts it on 70 elders. Sends quail meat in. Reference and name. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. Hazarot. Miriam / Aaron oppose Moses' wife. Divine response. Miriam gets leprosy and turns white. Moses intercedes. He prays for his sister. Result, Miriam healed, and after 7 days, her cleanness is restored. Reference / name, chapter 13, verse 1 through chapter 14, verse 44, Kadesh Barnea. Problem, spies say, can't conquer giants. Divine response, plans to wipe them out. Moses intercedes. Intercedes, Egyptians will hear, slow to anger. Result, spares the nation, nation attacks anyways, defeated after attacking Horma. Reference, name. Chapter 16, verse 1 through chapter 17, verse 12, the Korah Rebellion. Problem, Korah, a Levite, rebels against the priests. Divine response. Ground swallows them up. Moses intercedes. Moses separates them from Israel. Result. Aaron's rod buds, Aaronide priesthood established among the 12 tribes. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. Kadesh Barnea. Problem. No water. Divine response. Speak to the rock. Moses intercedes. Moses hits the rock. Result, Moses can't enter promised land. And the final one, reference name, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, Mount Hor. Problem, people speak against God / Moses. Divine response, serpents bite. Moses intercedes, prays, and put up serpent on pole. Result, people look at snake on pole and live. John chapter 3. In the midst of these rebellion cycles, there are a couple of ritual texts for supplementary offerings, chapter 15, tassels for garments, chapter 15, and water of cleansing with the red heifer. Chapter 19. It is interesting that the chapter where Moses disobeys by striking the rock instead of speaking to it is the very chapter where the deaths of Miriam and Aaron are recorded, chapter 20. In chapter 21, during the journey to the plains of Moab, the first victories are recorded at Arad and the defeat of Sihon, king of the Amorites, at Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, followed by the poem of Heshbon, chapter 21, verses 27 through 30. The Balaam narrative, chapters 22 through 24, and the lapse with the Midianites in chapter 25 complete this section that highlights the flaws of this old generation, chapters 1 through 25. Balaam, a prophet from Mesopotamia who knew the Lord after being exhorted to truly proclaim God's word by his talking donkey, comes to Balak, king of Moab, to curse / bless Israel. He can only render blessings on them in his four prophetic oracles. He foretells, quote, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel, end quote, chapter 24, verse 17. Which many have taken as a messianic prophecy. Balaam ultimately betrays his calling and likely instigated the Midianite women seducing the Israelite men to worship their gods. Those who participated are slain at Baal of Peor, and Phinehas in particular slays a man and his Midianite mistress, thereby stopping the plague. Chapter 25, verses 7 and following. The second census is in Numbers chapter 26, marking the transition from the old, dying, rebellious generation of the wilderness to the new, faithful generation that would possess the land promised to Abraham. There is an inclusio in this section as the new generation thinks about inheriting the land and discusses the inheritance rights of women with the daughters of Zelophehad. In the openings of this section, chapter 27, the section closes with the marriage of the daughters of Zelophehad and the preservation of their inheritance. Chapter 36. Chapters 28 and 29 describe the daily, Sabbath, and monthly offerings, as well as reiterate the annual feasts of Israel. The Transjordan tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, want to settle in their land, chapter 32, but Moses orders them they must help take the land of Canaan, even though they have received their inheritance already in Transjordan. Chapter 33 gives a travel itinerary. Chapter 34 describes the boundaries of Canaan, and chapter 35 identifies the Levitical towns and six cities of refuge. The Levites were to inherit no tribal territory because the Lord was their inheritance. Difficult issues in Numbers. Critical approach to Numbers. Many critical scholars see Numbers as being composed largely of the priestly tradition, post-exilic, around 500 BC, with some narratives of J.E. mixed in. Milgram has demonstrated that many of the terms such as, quote, congregation, end quote, assembly, end quote, tribe, end quote, and, quote, chieftain, end quote, died out in the usage after the 9th century BC and are not found in post-exilic texts. Thus, Numbers must have been written prior to the 9th century BC, contrary to those pushing a post-exilic P source. Milgram also notes things such as the square camp around the central tent sanctuary that fits the time of Ramses II, around 1200 BC, and not the later period, which used a round camp. Likewise, the ecstatic prophets, chapter 11, verse 25, and the use of trumpets for worship and war, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, fit with an earlier period, corroborating the historical veracity of the scriptures. Large numbers in Numbers. One of the outstanding problems of Numbers is the difficulty with the large numbers recorded in the censuses. The totals are given as 603,550 in chapter 1, verse 46, and 601,730 in chapter 26, verse 51. These numbers are confirmed in the counts recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, and chapter 38, verse 26, and illustrate the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant of many descendants. The problems in the scribal transmission of numbers is well known. For example, the missing numbers in the age and length of the reign of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1, and in comparing the 700 chariots in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 18, and the 7,000 in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 18. Yet there are no significant variants in the text of Numbers. Several things call for shrinking these large numbers. Why would an army of over 500,000 fear to take a small town like Hebron or Jericho, with about 10 acres, housing under a couple thousand people? How would 2 to 3 million people survive in the Sinai Desert? Would Pharaoh's 600 chariots really terrify an army of 600,000? The Levite population replaced the firstborn, but that doesn't fit well with what is known about family sizes, Numbers chapter 3, verses 42 through 47. Why is there the fear of being too few so that the animals would overrun the land? Exodus chapter 23, verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. The size of an ancient army of 600,000 is almost unheard of. More typical is the tribe of Dan that goes up to conquer Laish with 600 armed men, Judges chapter 18, verse 11. Several solutions have been proposed. Eleph, the word for thousand, really means, quote, clans, end quote, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23, or, quote, chiefs, end quote, Genesis chapter 36, verses 15 and following. Yet this interpretation doesn't seem to work. Others have proposed a gematria, meaning a large number stands for some meaning, like how the 375 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs is equal to the name of Solomon, or how 14 in Matthew chapter 1 references David. Again, it doesn't seem to work in Numbers. Saying it is simply a hyperbolic language also doesn't deal with the specifics of the situation. Thus, it is probably best to realize that we must await a solution to this problem. Theology. God. It is amazing to watch God's dynamic interaction with his people in the book of Numbers. God gets angry, chapter 11, verse 1, verse 33, and the people are punished with fire, snakes, and the ground swallowing them down. What is so fascinating is to watch God change his mind as a result of Moses' intercessory prayer. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 12, after the refusal to go up and take the promised land, God proclaims, quote, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, end quote. Moses prays, and God responds, quote, I have forgiven them as you asked, end quote. Chapter 14, verse 20. This is no mere anthropomorphism or testing of Moses. Rather, this reflects a God who is responsive to the prayer of his servant Moses. Surely his character and promises are unchangeable. Chapter 23, verse 19. Yet, in the rough and tumble of life, in the desert, God is engaged and interactive, not static, distant, locked into his own predeterminations regardless of what humans do. The book of Numbers declares God's faithfulness in the face of Israel's continued rebellion and unfaithfulness. God's presence, chapter 9, verse 15 and following, is a blessing, chapter 6, verses 24 to 27, that demands purity and is something that must be reckoned with. Moses. The character of Moses as an intercessor for the nation is huge in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 2, chapter 14, verse 13, and verse 20, chapter 21, verse 7. His humility was well noted, chapter 12, verse 3. He graciously desired to democratize the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 11, verse 29, rather than clutching on to them in an attempt to maintain power. His relationship with God is contrasted to the normal prophets to whom God spoke through dreams and visions. But with Moses, he spoke, quote, face to face, end quote, chapter 12, verse 8. Yet even Moses, due to his unbelief, faced a disappointing death, chapter 20, verse 12. There is much in this book that is relevant to leadership and the struggles leaders face. Numbers chapter 11, verse 11 and following, chapter 12, verse 2, and chapter 16, verse 3 and following. People of God. One is amazed at how fickle, rebellious, and unfaithful Israel is portrayed in Numbers, contrary to the fact that they had seen God's repeated miracles at the sea with the manna and with the provision of water in the desert. Seeing miracles and God's activity does not always guarantee belief. Furthermore, what other self-reporting ancient document portrays their forefathers in such a realistic manner? Even Moses is seen struggling, chapter 11, and faltering, chapter 20. This again confirms the historical realism of Scripture. Land. As there are two generations, so there are two lands contrasted in Numbers. The wilderness is full of trials, chaos, struggles, need, disorientation, and death, while the promised land is full of hope, permanence, promise, abundance, order, and life. Questions to think about. Number one, how is the ordeal of the woman with the jealous husband to be understood in light of ancient Near Eastern customs? Numbers chapter 5. Number two, how do you understand Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 on Moses' humility and Mosaic authorship? Number three, how do you understand God changing his mind at the request of Moses' intercessory prayer? Numbers chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. Compare chapter 23, verse 19. Number four, how is the role of leadership developed in Numbers? Number five, what role does Numbers play in the rest of Scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Hebrews chapters 3 through 4, Psalms 78 and 106. Question number six, how do you understand God's anger and his slaying of the Israelites in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, chapter 16, chapter 21, verses 4 and following, and chapter 25, verses 1 through 13? This section then ends with a map describing from Kadesh Barnea over to the plains of Moab, where Israel would wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Getting Started with Numbers by Ted Hildebrandt.